already said good morning to you, but hey, let's just say it again. You know, let's see if this thing actually works. Caleb's going to get going here in just a sec. Well, as you may or may not know, Leslie and I and Michelle and many others have been kind of immersed in camp. When I say that, I know that Michelle has been immersed in camp. She's been cooking for solid for 2 weeks, and Leslie's put in a lot of that in cooking, and she directed a camp, and so we've been immersed in camp, and it was a great thing. We went into camp 2 weeks ago as directors. They asked us to direct that camp, and we said we will, and we went into it thinking maybe we'll have half a dozen kids, and we end up with 23 showing up there 2 weeks ago. I don't know how many they had this past week. Anybody know? 23. It's okay, 23 again. So it's been a good time in camp. I was privileged to teach at camp, and week before last, as I taught, the information that I'm going to share with you this morning in this sermon. Now, I guess it's a little bit of cheating here, the fact that I'm taking from a teaching from camp, but forgive me for that. It's also a topic that Mike King, he's still on vacation, did a great job speaking about at Campfire Tuesday night a week ago, and that passage was our theme for the day, and it's good. So I tell you this to tell you that the original content was written to cater to junior high and youth kids. So my first disclaimer is that this wasn't a very long Bible study, and so it may go quickly this morning. And I know that bothers some of you to get out early and all, but you know we're gonna get out a little early. The second disclaimer is to the kids that were here at the camp and have already heard this. If you nod off, I won't be as offended as usual this morning. And the third disclaimer is simply that it was written for teenagers. So if I see you talking amongst yourselves and call you down, please forgive me. All right. With those disclaimers taken care of, this morning we're going to talk about hope and faith. Hope and faith. Cool. Worked. Yeah, maybe it didn't. Maybe I got turned on or something. Who knows? Probably. Just 1 second here. Okay, then I may just have to raise my hand. Oh, there it is. On, off. That's the one, I bet. It's new, sorry. Well, Kaylin, I may just have to raise my hand or something. I don't know. I don't guess it's working. Okay. I'll just raise my hand or something. Okay. I use the, let's just look at this scripture. I'll use the NIRV translation for kind of kid. It's kind of a good translation for kids of any age. I want to read that for you this morning. I think I'll just read it from the screen, if that's okay. A few days later, Jesus entered Capernaum again. The people heard that he had come home. So many people gathered that there was no room left. There was not even room outside the door, and Jesus preached the word to them. Four of those who came were carrying a man who could not walk. But they could not get him close to Jesus because of the crowd, so they made a hole by digging through the roof above Jesus. Then they lowered the man through it on a mat. Jesus saw their faith, so he said to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So this is not a complicated story. Jesus was teaching in a building, and it was so crowded that a paralyzed man could not get to Jesus. The scripture said that there was not even room outside the door. I believe in order to get all we can out of it, we need to think about all the things that are going on in this passage. First of all, these folks decided to come to this particular place simply because Jesus was there. Jesus was there. That seems a little obvious, but so really, according to the regular kind of the worldly definition of hope, did these people that brought this man to this place have hope? Did they have hope? Yeah, I think so. I'm going to propose this morning another definition of hope. Colossians 1:27 says, God has chosen to make known to them the glorious riches of that mystery. He has made it known among the Gentiles. And here is what it is. Christ is in you. He is your hope of glory. He is your hope of glory. So according to this slide, and I don't think you'll have a problem to coming to this conclusion on your own, hope is Christ. Hope is Christ. Keep that in mind as we go on. It'll come up again. Next one, please. The next thing we need to think about is, why didn't this man just come to Jesus himself? And the obvious answer is, he couldn't. He was paralyzed. Okay? The kids at camp got that one pretty good. So this meant that he needed help from others to even get to Jesus. We clearly see here what these men did. Houses at this time had what are called thatch roofs. Many of them, anyway, did. This meant that they were made pretty much out of dirt. So the men had to get up onto the roof and dig a hole in the roof. If you think about it, the hole they dug had to be pretty big because the scripture says the man was on his bed. So they had to lower him down on his bed next to Jesus. So let's look at that scripture again. I should be on 5 now. What I want us to take note of, especially as to whose faith saved this man. I want us to look at whose faith saved this man. Jesus, in at least 6 accounts in Scripture, said to someone that he healed, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well." So this is different. He said he didn't say this to the man that was healed in this case. He said something different. Go on to the next slide there. He says, then they lowered the man through it on a mat, and Jesus saw their faith. So since Jesus actually says to many people, "Your faith has made you well," the question comes to mind, what exactly is faith? And I ask this because Jesus tells these folks that their faith has made them well. And I think this is puzzling to a certain extent. It's what I'm going to call our conundrum for the morning. These people had no power to heal, did they? Do you think the people had any power to heal? The people that dropped this guy, did they have power to heal this guy? Well, of course not. If they had power to heal him, then they wouldn't have needed Jesus, right? So why did Jesus say at least 7 times, probably more, that human beings' faith had made them well, when we knew well that he, Jesus, did the healing? That's what we're going to take a look at this morning, number 7. The most common definition of faith, I think, is it's believing that something will come true even if you can't totally understand how it will happen. Is that kind of a good definition of faith? It's just kind of believing that something will come true. Let's look at the most common scripture that people use as a biblical definition of faith. That's slide 8. So you kind of see there's a second sentence. You kind of see that general definition of faith in the second sentence here. What about the first sentence? Think about what we looked at a few minutes ago. So it says faith is being sure of what we hope for. It's being sure of what we do not see. Okay? So think about what we looked at a few minutes ago. So here's my interpretation. See what you think. Slide 9, please. So here's a way to think about it. Let's say that these guys take this paralyzed guy to the house where they thought Jesus was, and then they found out that Jesus had left. Would they still have kind of had this worldly definition of faith? Yeah, probably. Even if Jesus was not there, they said, we still kind of have faith. But would they have hope, according to the definition I gave you a few minutes ago? No hope, is there? No hope. Jesus was not there. So there is no way to have real biblical faith without hope. So when the man was lowered down in front of Jesus, the whole thing was put together. They had hope, which is Jesus. So they had faith, which in this case was their personal knowledge that Jesus was God, the Son of, was God the Son, and could heal their friend. So they had the kind of the whole package of faith, in my opinion. So what about wishing? What's the difference between a wish and faith? Well, if these guys were sitting around with the paralyzed friend, and one of them says, I wish my friend could be healed, what good would it do? Not a bit, really, probably. So this brings us back to our conundrum. So here's another thing I think we can see here, slide 10. This is kind of the mathematical equation I wrote. Going to 10, I think it's 10. Yeah, this is kind of the mathematical equation that was 11, I'm sorry, that I wrote down for the kids. Faith equals hope, and hope is Jesus, plus our actions. That's really what faith is. It kind of has to be that way. If Jesus said, your faith has made you well, and we know Jesus isn't saying, you did it. He was going to do the healing. Okay? So it has to be a combination. It has to be. I don't think Jesus was saying that he didn't do the healing. He was saying that we have to be a part of what he does for us in our lives. We need to be a part of it. The paralyzed man couldn't have this kind of faith. He couldn't go find hope, but his friends could, and they did. One of my favorite verses is Philippians 4:13, and I think it's emphasized this point even more. That's one that we read a lot. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe the Bible's very clear on this. Christ doesn't work for us. Christ doesn't work for us. He's not our employee. He's our Lord and Savior. And he's in us as Christians in God the Holy Spirit. He works through us. Works through us. Have faith. Believe in the impossible. All things is a pretty big amount. You agree? All things. Next slide. I want to close with this one, one of my favorite scriptures, and I think it is in line with what we're talking about today. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who hope in the Lord," and we've just talked about the fact that hope is the Lord, really, "will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." What a great promise we have in Christ. Amen. Amen. If you're here and you haven't accepted this Christ we're talking about, the one that did the healing in this story, then this altar is open to you this morning. Come. If you have any other need, you all know that it's available to you as well. So let's pray, and then we'll have our final song. Let's pray together. Lord God, this morning we've kind of went through an account that was in the Bible about a man that was healed, and he was healed kind of through his friend's faith, and that was kind of a different thing. Lord, we're all friends here, and we all have needs. Lord, have us continue to bring others before you for their needs, and have us also trust in you, because Father, you are our only hope, and we can have faith in you, even true faith that includes you. Be with us this morning as we sing. And Father, if there are those that need to need you this morning, the altar's open. And I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.